Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I praise you and I thank you for the faith that you've given all of us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for these great and wonderful times that we're in. And we praise you, Father, for bringing us along too, Lord. Bringing us into that sanctification process that you so desire for us to walk in. And Lord, I thank you for great and bold faith in the times ahead to walk in this tribulation stuff that's coming upon us here. And Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you that everybody here is going to believe with me for Marlon. I come against that spirit of infirmity that's on him right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you have already healed him. We prayed the prayer of faith for him. And we thank you, Lord, that when they go in there, they're not going to find anything because you've already fixed it, Lord. And I thank you for that, that they're just going to sew him right back up and say, I don't know what happened, but this is the man has been fixed. He's been healed by the Lord God Almighty. And they're going to know it's a miracle. And Father, we thank you for that because you're going to get the glory. You're going to get the glory, Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that Marlon is healed, delivered, and set free in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that his family that's going up there are going to see this great and mighty miracle take place and come to Jesus in a more pronounced way, Lord, and with the hunger of God all over them, Lord. I thank you for that. And I praise you, Father, that everybody here believes that Marlon is healed 100%. In Jesus' name, and the pain and all of the stuff that's associated with it has gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for hooking all our faith up together and believing. And you've sent them angels already over there, you know, to minister to Marlon, do whatever's necessary. Lord, I don't know what all has to be done, but you do. You're the great healer. And I just believe, Lord, you're healing me in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a great time tonight with my brothers and sisters. And Lord, let your revelations come forth and the gifts be in operation, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Greg, or Yano, called us, and Marlon's in the, they had to take him to the emergency room. They called us at 4 o'clock this morning. Our time had been 3 o'clock their time. That he was in great pain, and they took him to the hospital, and apparently when they stuck the feeding tube in there, they punctured a small intestine, and it's allowing air into his lungs and up around his lung cavity and stuff. I don't know. It's just a mess. But, you know, it's the doctor. I don't want to say what I'm thinking. So we prayed for him. We believe. And they have to go in there and operate. They're going to have to cut a chunk out. I don't know why they're going to have to cut a chunk out if they've already done that. But I don't know. I don't know everything there is to know about it. That's why I say the Lord's going to fix it. And he knows. He knows what to do. He knows a whole lot more than I do. And I just believe, and we all believe, that God's going to fix it. Now, Greg's flying up there tomorrow. They told us, the doctors told us, told Dano, that there's not much, you know, there's a chance that he couldn't survive this operation because of his, he's already, you know, he doesn't weigh but about 100 pounds, you know. And Marlon, if you didn't know him before, he was up there around 150, 160 pounds. And he's dropped all that weight when he got that cancer. And he was coming back real good. But this transpired, and we just believe God's doing a mighty miracle here. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So let's go ahead and open it up for prayer requests. Let's get this chunk of paper here. I can write on it. Anybody got any prayer requests? What about testimonies? How about a dead raising? Anybody have one of them today? No dead raising, okay. All right, well, you're good there. Nobody died, that's great. Go ahead, Angelica.
You know, I always got a prayer request.
Okay.
I actually have two. One, there's a new family that moved in across the way from my apartments here. And my apartments are set up kind of funny because it's kind of like they were built in the 50s, but it's kind of like a dorm room situation on the top floor. It's got two stairs on the right and the left, and you come up and it's all enclosed and you got all the doors in the inside. So anyway, this new family, I've seen this gentleman several times. He, you know, coming in and he's wiggling my door handle every time I step out of my house. But, you know, I'm a single mother and I live with my son. So I've always double, triple checked, you know, to make sure that I lock my door. Just for that reason, just to make sure I didn't forget to do that. But anyway, he's handling my door. I should repent. I put 1 Corinthians 6:10. I wrote that and I put it on the door. And I probably shouldn't have done that because he got mad and ripped it off. But it's kind of like, I'm like, I don't know if I should tell the apartments because, you know, I think that's sort of a dangerous situation. But anyway, I know the Lord is sovereign and he can do whatever he wishes. But I just wanted to pray for that man and pray for my situation concerning that. My Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God, for your loving kindness, mercy, and grace. And I know you've moved so many people in and out of these apartments since I've been here, Lord. And all of them have been trials, Lord God, in some way, shape, or form. And this is no different, Lord. And I know that you're sovereign and that you can protect myself and my son and our belongings, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. I bless this man, Lord God. And I just repent, Lord God, from any ungodly feelings, Lord God, towards this man, Lord God, where I'm just continually doing that, even though he knows that I know. And I just pray, Lord God, for supernatural protection for myself, my son, and all the other neighbors here, Lord God, and that your perfect will be done concerning him, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I bless him. And I just ask for salvation for him, Lord God, for him and his family, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that you're going to keep him away. If he has any nefarious ideas in his head, Lord, we thank you that your angels, your warrior angels, sitting outside of Angelica's room there, or apartment there, Lord, protecting her and her son. And we thank you for it, Father, that any time that he comes by there, he touches that handle, that you shock him, Lord. But it just shocks him. He'll quit doing that. Father, we thank you for that. And just like Angelica said, pray, Lord, we thank you for our salvation for this man. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to grant repentance to him and bring him into the kingdom in a mighty way. Thank you, Father, for your protection and your salvation for this man. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. And my All other right. prayer request for myself, I'm just feeling a bit overwhelmed, you know, having to move. And I know that I kind of knew that the Lord was going to wait last minute just to kind of build my patience and faith. And I'm just very distracted right now. And I just would like prayer against distraction and being overwhelmed. And, and my mother, I know that she's taking it real hard and she's just kind of real, just taking out on me. And, so I want to lift her up as well and ask the Lord to give her mercy and grace and heal her heart.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we command anxiety and stress to go from Angelica right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a smooth transition for her. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing favor with her mother, too. Let her mother understand, Lord, that it's you that's bringing Angelica away. And Lord, we thank you that she's not going to be a hindrance. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're maturing Angelica to understand these things and to not allow everyday things distract her from you, Lord. We praise you, Father, that you're going to do that. And we ask, Lord, that everything just falls into place for her. You have ordained it. And if you've ordained it, Lord, it's going to happen in a way that's going to be smooth. And we thank you, Lord, that it is in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. All right. All right, anybody else? All right, let's y'all agree with me. If you would, Lord, I lift up Austin and Ashley to you, and I thank you, Lord, that getting their lives straight with you, and Father, that you would put a hunger in them to get in the Word together, to pray together, and to pray for the little ones, the two little girls. And Lord, I thank you for getting them in a mindset that you're the one that's in charge, not them. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to be the focus of this family in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you for the work you already done in both of them, Lord. And now, Lord, it's the trials and the tribulations that we go through sometimes that we don't understand. But we do know that it's you working in us, Lord. And we give you praise in the valleys, and we give you praise on the hilltop. And I just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in Ashley and Austin. In Jesus' name, amen. That's my grandson. They've moved here. Anyway, thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Can I get prayer? Or can you pray for Bruce?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. He decided now to have chemo, and he's going in. He went in today for one of his appointments, but he's going to start, I guess, Thursday, which Michael, I have to cancel again. He's making these appointments. I'm sorry. He's making these appointments, so I have to cancel, you know, the counseling session.
Yeah.
Could we do a Friday morning?
Sure.
Okay.
I had to check her David. I don't think we have anything scheduled for Friday morning after the morning meeting, but yes, we can.
I apologize again. I mean,
oh, that's no problem. No problem.
He told me to make it for Thursday, but then he turned around and made this appointment with this chemo doctor.
Well, let me ask you this. Is he going to be tied up all day?
I don't really know. This is so new to me. I mean, I don't know anything about this. I'm actually really, pray for me because I'm really apprehensive about this whole thing. I'm a little overwhelmed because I don't think he should be going and doing it, but all the family members tell him to go and do it, you know. So I guess okay. I just don't want to go and deal. I just don't want to have to deal with all that because my heart's not in it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Anyways.
Well, Lord, we just thank you for taking stress and anxiety away from Barbara.
Thank you.
And, Lord, give her understanding that the only thing she needs to be worried about is seeking you for Bruce. And, Father, we thank you for that, that she's praying and she's believing for Bruce right now. And, Lord, we thank you for that. And, Lord, we lift up Bruce to you. We ask, Lord, that you open up your spiritual eyes to see. And, Lord, we thank you that at some point in time, I believe you're going to do that, Lord. Sometimes we have to go through a lot, Lord, before we do open up our eyes to see. And it's a sad situation, but that's what happened. But it's sad in the sense that it could have been, you know, years ago. But Father, I know that people sometimes they can't get above what they see with their natural eyes, and the faith is not a big thing for them. But Lord, I thank you for. When we're at our weakest, you're at the strongest. And I praise you that you're going to bring Bruce in a mighty way. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I just believe you're going to do it, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. You believe that, Barbara?
I do, Michael. It's okay. Funny, too, because I was all pumped up this morning. I mean, I was all pumped up and was really at rest and at peace and everything. But then I hear all his family, you know, talking about the chemo and how he should have it done and all these, just all these appointments, you know, that's going on about the chemo and stuff. And I don't know what happened. I guess I just allowed myself to get overwhelmed over it, you know.
Yeah. But the primary thing is getting him into the kingdom, right?
Yeah.
In a mighty way. That's the primary thing. And that's what we have to focus on, Lord. Allow him to see the truth, you know. And just keep on praying for him, praying in the spirit for him. And you'll see a change, I believe. I know you will.
Yeah.
Because you're believing. You're believing. You got faith.
I am believing. Yeah, I just got to stop putting my eyes on
stuff. Now, like I know that. It's hard, but you know, we just have to keep our eyes on Jesus, right?
Yeah. Thank you, Michael. So I guess Friday, then, let me know if it's all right with David. You can just email
sure.
me.
Yeah. Hey, David. No, I'll ask him afterwards. Would you send me a text so you could remind me? Because I get distracted sometimes.
Okay.
I know it's hard to believe, but yeah, I do.
I do too sometimes, but I'll try to remember.
Okay. Yeah, just send me a text on the phone and I'll ask him. I don't know of anything we have to do. All right, anybody else? Yeah, babe.
Guess I'd like to pray for our girl and I guess her partner at work. Yeah, she came up from a Catholic background, and she has kind of a hard heart towards God and all that stuff right now. And it's kind of falling away. And I'm not sure how far you fall away from being a Catholic. I don't think they have much of the truth anyways. Not that I'm being hypercritical about Catholics right now. But she... Yeah, I share a little bit with her here and there when the opportunity presents itself and she's open to listen. But, you know, she can only take so much what I'm going to say and she's got to get away. So I'm just going to pray. Her name's Sarah Green. And strangely enough, it sounds like she might be Jewish with that last name, but I don't know. But so I'm going to pray for her and the guy that she kind of they partner up with. This guy's kind of a obnoxious, kind of a really a bad influence on her. But also he came up from a Methodist background years ago, and he's kind of fallen away, retired Air Force. And neither one of them are really good company for each other for where they're going. But, you know, I think they both need to have a wake-up call on the Lord, you know, as far as what's going on in their life and how they got to maybe turn around and it's hard to get people to turn, but I know the Lord can do it. So I'm going to pray for the both of them. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know the situation I have with Bill and Sarah. I do what I can save to them, and whatever seeds fall, hopefully Satan's not removing them, Father. I ask that I bind Satan right now to keep from hindering any kind of work that's being done in your name to bring them closer to your kingdom and help them to repentance. Father, I ask that you grant them repentance, a renewed heart to seek after you and to forsake their ways so they realize the vanity of life and that the only thing that counts is your kingdom and what you perceive to be important in this world, not what they think is important. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers as we come together and open up more avenues for questions and answers so that it can draw them both closer to you. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're looking for the victory. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
Your sound is really low. I can hear other people. Maybe it's just my phone, but I'm having a hard time hearing you. Anyway, I just wanted to...
Can you hear me now?
And that was distorted.
Okay. The volume. Well, I had the microphone hid behind my teacup.
Oh. Anyway, just want to let you know.
Okay. Can you hear me now, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry about that. I don't pay attention to it since it's not on my head. Okay. Anybody else? Hey, let's pray for Trump, okay? Let's believe for Trump. Father, man, deep state's getting backed up into a corner. They liable to do anything. They have a bunch of mad dogs slobbering at the mouth, ready to bite anybody and everybody that gets in their way. And Lord, I thank you. I don't know what they're planning on. I don't know what your agenda is. But I know that they're not going to take this sitting down. They never have. They killed presidents because they didn't want their agenda messed with. And Lord, they've killed millions of people too. But Lord, I know that you're sovereign. I know that you don't allow things unless you want it to be allowed. And I do know that things are going to happen here shortly because of the apostate religions out there. And you're going to bring the Edomites down. But I ask, Lord, that you expose these people. And that just like you're doing, just like Trump is, people are doing, they're exposing these people for what they are. They're a bunch of Satanists and a bunch of pedophiles and just sacrificing children and all kinds of crazy stuff. Lord, and I thank you for exposing them all, exposing the leadership for who they are. And Father, we just praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for your protection around Donald Trump and his family and the people around him, the people that are loyal to him, Lord. And I praise you for it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that the people that are loyal to Donald Trump, the president of the United States, cannot be bought by the deep state. And I ask, Lord, that you place those key people in the right places to keep it from happening. And also in tune with your angels out there, your big warrior angels that are all around about him and his family and the people he uses, Lord, that are part of his cabinet. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're opening up. The Red Sea is opening up and fixing to fall in on this deep state bunch. And Lord, we just believe it. Our faith is all hooked together, and we thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing up in the Capitol. You're exposing these nefarious, evil people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. I believe it's done. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
When you're praying that, I had this thought the other night. It seems like Attorney General Sessions is being, I won't say controlled, but it seems
he's been like compromised.
He's been compromised somehow.
Yeah. Well, so, it's just passed. It's just passed. He's been a member of the KKK.
Okay.
Or at least that's what we heard anyway. And that's how they're controlling him. He didn't look that out, I guess. But he's scared. If you ever watched him on TV, he's been scared, hasn't he?
Yes. He's intimidated. And I was wondering what somebody's got something on him is what the deal is. And I think we ought to pray against that it either be exposed or revealed, and that this grasp that Satan is using to manipulate him be removed. Sometimes, even if it's just exposed, worst case scenario, he has to leave because of it, and somebody else is in there, or whatever the thing would be. But there has to, I believe that the Lord can solve that issue or that problem if we stand against it. You want me to pray? I can't hear you, Michael.
I'm sorry. I was saying, yeah, but I was muted. Nobody could hear me. Yeah, go ahead. We'll believe with you.
Father, we just thank you for this group. Thank you for us coming together, that you've given us the grace and the eyes and the wisdom to see these powers and the effects that they have behind the scenes. And Lord, we just ask you, we bind that spirit, whatever that spirit is that is holding Attorney General Sessions down. I command that that spirit be bound now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up an opportunity for this, for light to be shown on this situation, and that you would send freedom and peace into Attorney General Sessions' heart, that we could correct this situation. I just trust you, Lord, for you are greater than this situation. You know how to expose the devil and to cast him out. We just trust you, Lord, for your unveiling of this situation, of this control. And Lord, we pray that there be strength in that office to facilitate what needs to happen in the investigations, or moving ahead towards whatever has to happen in this situation. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We pray a hedge of protection around Sessions, Lord, that you would free his mind and free his heart, set him free from this situation. Lord, you came to take captivity captive, and we just trust you, Lord, that you are able to work in this situation. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Lord, if he's not going to if it's just a stall on his part and he's part of the deep state, Lord, I ask that you remove him, put somebody in there to do it. And Father, I ask and I pray for these New York policemen. Y'all remember me telling y'all about the New York policemen that had seen the videos of Hillary and Huma Abedin sacrificing children? They have been threatened. Their families have been threatened. They have been threatened that these people will kill their families, kill them, kill their dog. This came out here a couple of days ago. And that's the reason you haven't heard it much more out of them. So let's pray into that. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you expose these people that are coming against these New York policemen, Lord. And we command fear to go out of them. Lord, we know that if they stand in numbers, there's no way that they could kill all of them, or any of them, or that they would even try. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to find a way to expose Hillary and this other lady and all the people up there with them too, Lord, yes, in this evil sacrificial of baby sacrifice of babies that you're doing up there, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to make it so hard on these deep states that you're going to just clean house up there with all these Satanists. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Protect those policemen. We ask that in the name of Jesus and their families, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. That's some wild stuff, isn't it? Yeah, Dave.
I see their attorney general is being removed out of New York there. So
from New York, yeah.
That's a good sign. I think that's probably one of the roadblocks was he was there. I think he had a lot of corruption going on. He was after Trump in a lot of ways. So I think what we're starting to see is God move in ways we didn't think about. So let's continue to pray that the Lord bring down this corrupt liberal, anti, you know, people, period. This is fascism that's out there, the Satanism. Father, thank you for doing things behind the scenes we're even not even aware of what you're up to. Mm-hmm. And expose more and more of these people for what they are, get it out in the open so they can't hide, and remove them from office. Take their office away from them. Expose them for what they are and get the truth out. Lord, start cleaning house in our institutions, our Department of Justice, the FBI, all the heads that are blocks now to prevent your righteousness from coming through, and your to prevent Donald Trump and his is administration and even the local governments from doing what they're called to do, to serve and be a representative for you in this world. Lord, we're asking that you get rid of these evil people that are preventing your justice from coming through and actually causing, you know, all this, these terrible murders that are going on and hiding them and threatening, like we're hearing from the police departments. Lord, expose this and expose the corrupt media that's doing this too. I thank you, Father, for allowing our country to, the most of the people are on side of Donald Trump, even though 98% said of the media coverage of Donald Trump is negative, that people see through that. I ask that you continue to open the eyes, allow people to see that. And the ones that don't choose to see that and want to be blinded, Lord, turn them in the spirit of confusion that they have and leave them there until they decide to repent. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer and trying to bring back righteousness in this country. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I hook my faith up with Dave and everybody else, and we believe that's happening, Lord. We believe that's happening in South Africa, too, and up in Canada as well. All over, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for exposing this evil empire of deep state people. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, I saw where they had charged that man with sexual abuse. The attorney general from New York, who actually was prosecuting Harvey Weinstein. So, judge not, lest you be judged, huh? Come on, man.
Yeah, I think the Lord wanted to point out all the hypocrisy out there. Yep. These people of power.
Yeah, it's bad. Okay. Anybody else? You want to pray? Or need prayer? Hey, man. What were we talking about the other night? Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Michael, I just want to thank the Lord for healing. I had this small growth that I had on my body, and it was about a month ago. I noticed it about a month, maybe 6 weeks ago, and I started praying and trusting the Lord for healing related to it. And I kind of forgot about it. And then it started getting bigger and started kind of bothering me. And it looked like almost like a blackhead type of thing, except it was underneath the skin. And not that it was a major thing or anything like that, but again, I kind of went into another level of praying and thanking the Lord and not focusing on what I was seeing and that sort of thing. And there was all kinds of fears then associated with it. Of course, you always get the cancer thing, and that's the first thing that comes up, and what are you going to do, and this and that, and whatever. And so I continued to stand, and it was like it was like fear all over me. But and I'd get up in the morning and this fear would be on me, and I would pray against double mindedness and everything else, and then just trust the Lord's word that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. He's delivered us out of the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his Son. And then I wish I could remember what it was, but I prayed something specific, and I'm kind of mad that I can't remember what I prayed, but it was something like, you know, can you manifest this thing now and make this happen now type thing. And it was like a couple days, and it started hurting and it started getting sore and hurting worse. And of course, then the fears were coming in even more intense, and I was praying against it and all the while. And then I realized, I got to looking at it, and it was pushing out of my skin. And I took some tweezers and pulled it right out, and it was gone. It was like the Lord healed me, but was pushing it out of my body. So I just wanted to thank the Lord for that healing. Number one, and number two, I realized the devil doesn't give up no matter what, because you know what the next thought that hit me was, well, if the Lord wouldn't have healed you fast, you would have crumbled under the fear. So then I start feeling guilty about that, and I thought, man alive, this is like a spiritual battle all the way. Just, it's unbelievable. But anyway, I had to say that, praise the Lord for the healing.
Amen. It's warfare, isn't it?
It's crazy.
Spiritual warfare. Yeah, it really is. I miss it. She's froze up.
Yeah, we got a new person, Missy. She should introduce herself.
she froze up. You froze up. Your video froze up.
You're frozen hammer. Too.
No, you're frozen. I'm got to move.
You're froze. We're both froze.
Okay. All right. Well, anybody else got a? There you go. Anybody else got a prayer request or testimony or praise report? All right. What were we going to talk about tonight? Y'all remember?
You want to finish up Psalm 37?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, absolutely. Psalm 37. You remember what verse was on?
I think it was 33.
Okay. Let me get my iPad going here. All right. Some of you haven't been with us. We've been going through Psalms 37. Somebody had, who's that, Pat? Was that you? That had that the other day? Psalms 37, or was that you?
Yeah, I was, I don't remember what I was going through at the time, but it was probably related to this fear I was talking about.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
The Lord ended up taking me through Psalm 37, and I just was blessed on just about every verse in that.
Oh, absolutely. We've been blessed going through it. You know, everybody finds a little layer here and there. That's awesome. Okay, Psalms 37, 33. Lord, open up our eyes here to see the revelations in this, what we've got left. This 8 more verses. Lord, we thank you for it.
Let's back up to 32 and before we start in 33.
Okay. 32. You want to read it, Dave?
The wicked watch the righteous and seek to slay him.
So, what's he talking about then? The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay. He's sitting out there. He's waiting on an opening. Anytime that we give an opening, he's going to slide right in there, right? Is that what he's talking about? We open up a gate for that enemy, he's going to slide in there, and he's going to try to take us out. And so that's why we have to be diligent in our watch. And our eyes keep focused on Jesus, because that devil is, he's quick, man, he's quick. But he's not quicker than God, is he? And just like Pat was talking about just a minute ago, we have to be diligent in our prayer life, diligent in our study of the Word as well. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Anybody got anything else on that?
I'll add real quick. This also points to us having to build a wall, not in a sense like Trump's talking, but our wall is that spiritual wall that keeps the wicked, the arrows that fly at us to try to go at us and take us down. To have that wall up so that we have the Word of God as our shield, and we're being always constantly renewed and protected by that Word, and walking in with the right in righteousness in Christ. And not allowing this spirit of condemnation or the fear or the anxieties to overwhelm us. We keep that wall up, and we hold the Lord up on those circumstances, and it keeps the wicked at bay. Because not only is the wicked can be people, but it's also going to be the spiritual wickedness around us.
Amen. Chad, I think you was next. Diddy, I'll get to you in a minute.
Yeah. Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I wanted to testify a little bit first, and then share some thoughts on this verse you're talking about. The Lord has really been lifting me up and strengthening me, encouraging me, and helping me through these manifold trials that I've shared some about with everyone on here in the past. And I just thanking and praising the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy, and his awesome grace. And I want to thank everybody who ever prayed. I want to thank everybody for praying, and all those that prayed as the Lord put it on your hearts. And I'm just I'm in awe of what he's been doing in me. And I have a lot of questions about it, but there are a lot of things I can't really explain, but I don't need to. I can just say that the Lord has been breaking loose something very, very deep inside of me. And I have humbly acknowledged that for the Lord to do it this way is, he's perfect in all of his ways. And I had wondered why he waited for so long, why he didn't deal with this early on. And I had questions about that. And that's one of the reasons it took me so much by surprise, was because I had, such a really good walk with the Lord for some time and was seeing a lot of victories, quick answers to prayer, both for myself and for others. A desire to be in the Word at all times. The Lord was bringing his Word to my remembrance a lot and giving me the grace to obey. And he's been just kind of unfolding things, some things I've been through in the last few years, as well as things going way, way back into my childhood, way back into my generational past, and kind of tying it all together and untying it, putting the pieces of the puzzle together at the same time. So it's just really an awesome thing. I'm in awe, and I'm very thankful. I was thinking as you were sharing the verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. As some of you on here know, my wife Charity works in the public school system. She works at an elementary school, and things have become, very, very dark there. It's been dark in that system for a long time, and we've seen the powers of darkness at work very vehemently and diligently at times to come against her school district, and particularly at the school that she works at. And the Lord gave us the grace to do a lot of spiritual warfare. Shortly after we got married, he began, the Lord brought us together. We got married at the very, very tail end of 2007. And the Lord was bringing me out of a lot of things back then, He brought me through some very, very difficult trials and some sifting, and then brought us into UBM. Let's see, it was just about a year after we got married, just over a year. And, you know, I just sat at the feet of Jesus and began feeding on the word a lot through the UBM teachings. And he gave me the grace to do that, you know, and get really girded up. And then he began revealing more about spiritual warfare. And, you know, there were all kinds of manifestations taking place at the school that Charity worked at, all kinds of demonic manifestations. The guy that was the superintendent at the time was involved with some kind of Eastern religious stuff, and it opened a spiritual door there, and people were hearing, and teachers, you know, and staff there that were unsaved were hearing voices, you know, like seeing, in one case, I think one saw like a rocking chair rocking when nobody was in it. Somebody heard typing on a keyboard. Nobody else was in the room. Somebody would be, a janitor would be in the bathroom, there'd be nobody else in the building, and they'd hear children's voices, and I mean, just on and on and on, you know, the manifestations were going crazy there then, as the school had become possessed with a number of entities. And the Lord opened up a door for me to go in there and do some spiritual warfare and some prayer walking, and we, by the grace of God, Charity and I, and in agreement with others, in prayer, we're able to really go in there and clean house. And those manifestations, as far as we know, all pretty much stopped a while thereafter. And we saw other wonderful victories. You know, they would set up, the system would set up these, what they call observations for the teachers. And, you know, sometimes we just sense there are other things going on behind the curtain that they're not telling about. And so we would just pray. And, you know, Charity would go to work on that particular day, and the Lord would throw confusion into the enemy's camp, and whatever meetings they were having, they were planning on having, whether it was about what they call equity, which is really giving favor to the homosexual and, you know, LGBT, so on and so forth agenda, ultimately. The Lord would throw confusion into the camp, and one person would be sent to a meeting at a different school, and one person would be sent somewhere else saying, well, what happened? I don't know. This person got sent over here. This one got sent over there. And you know, sometimes she would only have a few kids to observe instead of a wild, crazy classroom, because the children can be very, you know, at times very difficult to deal with, because they're all going through so much, you know, with things going on in the system and the vaccinations and the things that they have to see on, you know, TV and whatever, the things that they're exposed to. There's a lot of dark powers at work against the children of this generation. So it makes it very difficult for the teachers when their hands are tied in so many ways by the system, you know, and they're not allowed to discipline. These kids aren't getting discipline at home, and their home lives are all broken up and on and on. And so the Lord would just orchestrate things in such a way that would he would thwart whatever the enemy was planning on doing to try and just bring in more oppression, you know, and whatever agenda they were planning on. We saw that over and over and over. Whenever something would come up, we would just go to prayer and do spiritual warfare, and the Lord would move. And then also, I just am so thankful for how the Lord has enabled her to be a light there. You know, the children have seen Jesus in her in so many ways, just through her actions and through her being able to shine her light there in that Antichrist and system, you know, that's very dark. And as there would be children that she would have a problem with at times, she would come home and tell me about situations, and we'd pray about it. And, you know, these were just really hard to deal with children sometimes. And at the end of the year, at times I would see a note laying on the counter that she had put in her pocket, and it was from the child that she was having, you know, issues with throughout that year, that was being rebellious. And sometimes it was more than one, but sometimes it'd be a particular one that just really, really would you know, give her a hard time because of whatever was going on in that child. And there'd be a note, I'd read the note, and the child would say how much that he or she loved Charity and was hoped he could have her, you know, again next year as his or her teacher. And, you know, and this was something that the child wrote from their own heart. It wasn't anything that they were told to write. And I saw that so many times, you know, and Charity wouldn't even tell me about it. She'd just have a little note on the counter, and I'd read it, and it just blessed me every time. And And so I'm just so thankful for that. But I was thinking on, you know, the wicked watch the righteous, and, you know, they know who she is in there. And God has used her there in so many ways, you know, to shine her light and to thwart the powers of darkness. And, you know, things are really heating up there once again, but we're watching and praying and expecting the Lord to continue to do good things. And of course, he's worked a lot of good in her and in both of us through all the trials that have gone on there. So I was thinking about this recent very difficult trial and sifting the Lord brought me through. And, you know, I'd felt like I had failed so miserably. And, well, I suppose in a way I had, but God's not looking for my strength, and I'm not either. You know, I know I can do nothing of myself. And yet I was crying out to the Lord as to how did I so quickly, you know, how did this all come about? It seemingly, it didn't happen, you know, real quick. It was a little subtle thing here and a subtle area there in my thinking, and just in my ways that very, very slowly crept in, and then began to multiply. And we had seen, Charity and I had seen a lot of victories in the neighborhood we used to live in. We saw the Lord, you know, take down the powers of witchcraft and occultic powers that we had sensed were very hard at work in the neighborhoods in the surrounding area that we lived in. We moved away from there now just over a year ago, and the Lord moved us somewhere else where he's, you know, got us now. But the Lord began to show me that as a lot of breakthrough was happening, you know, there would be people that would, believers that would drive up the street and say they could feel peace just when they turned onto the street and drove up the street. You know, it wasn't that way when we moved there. There was a lot of very heavy oppression. And the Lord just, you know, gave us a lot of grace. I would pray a lot through the night and just watch and pray. And I'd be aware of dark powers at work in the area. And just by the grace of God, stayed very diligent in that. But, you know, after a time, I began to wrestle in some areas and I was not quite diligent enough. And I'm not saying, you know, in my own strength, but the Lord was just showing me it was like a 3 or 4-fold cord that slowly began to pull me down. And the Lord permitted this for, you know, for sifting and to bring me to a greater place of humility, which I'm thankful for. But I was being watched and being diligently watched, and where I got a little bit slack, the enemy came in like a flood. And so it wasn't like I had been down that same road before. I mean, I had kind of in some different failures in some different areas, but at the same time, the Lord had taken me further on, but yet wanted to show me some things and reveal some things so that I wouldn't go down that road in any way again, that I would become even more diligent by the grace of God, you know, and that the Lord, and the cry of my heart is that the Lord make me very, very diligent and watchful continually, that I watch unto prayer and pray without ceasing, you know, by his grace. And I was crying out to, you know, enter into that, and wasn't entering into that not too long ago. But sometimes, you know, just some of us take a little more humbling and more sifting and more scourging and chastening than others at times. And I've, by the grace of God, I'm able to humble myself to the Lord in that and just say, you know, Lord, only you can lift me up out of this, and I'm trusting you to do that. And he has been, you know, I really want to pray and intercede for, you know, so many people and suffering children, you know, children that are caught up in this human trafficking, that are bound up in that. We've seen some victories in that area, and we've seen the Lord bring some breakthroughs, but the cry in my heart is that I'd really be able to be a lot more effective in that, and I feel the Lord is really doing that. He's given me a lot of grace to pray again and to spend a lot of time in prayer, and even throughout the day, you know, I just find myself watching and praying continually. And so I also am realizing that the wicked they're always watching. And I was talking with a brother last night. I had some really good fellowship with a brother who's been going through some long-standing trials, and he was saying that one of the translations for pray that you don't enter into, or, you know, the verse that says pray that you enter not into temptation, he said one of the renderings of that is pray that you don't become, he said what the Lord showed him was pray that you don't become possessed by the trial. In other words, that the trial overtake you in such a way that you fall to the temptation, but that in the midst of the temptation, by watching and praying, are able to receive grace to endure through it and then find a door of escape, which of course is always Jesus. And that really encouraged me, because I think I had a bit of a flaw in my thinking before, was that, well, some trials I just got to go through and suffer under. And I don't know if I thought really I had, you know, that I had to fall in order to learn. I don't believe that, because it's, you know, in 2 Peter 1, it says, if we do these things, we shall never stumble. If we give the more diligence to make our calling and election sure, we'll never stumble. And I believe that. I believe I can get to a place where I never stumble. And so I've been learning as these temptations are, you know, come at times in manifold ways, whether it's a temptation to give in to condemnation or spiritual slothfulness or, you know, whatever it might be, that as long as I'm watching against it and being diligent in my thoughts, that I can be strengthened through it and look to Jesus as the door of escape instead of just gritting my teeth, you know, and keep on trying to fight through it all the time, which kind of became a habit. Because I felt like I had to press through so much, which I have, but part of that was because of I just was not able to receive more of the love of the Lord for some reason. It's something that I battled with for a long time. You know, there were times where I felt the Lord wanted to just pour his love into my heart, and I had received some good measures of his love and grace, and he'd done awesome, wonderful things in my life. I'm just amazed, but there was particular times in the past that I would just shut myself off for some reason. And no, Lord, I don't deserve that. I can't receive more of your love. And I know it grieved him so much, but for some reason that deep root of pride and bitterness kept me from that. You know, it's like part of me wanted to, and I was kind of upset that I couldn't. But then on the other hand, it's just, you know, the Lord had to bring me to a point where he could really expose the depths of wickedness in my heart without me giving into rejection. And he's done that very gently and wonderfully. And that's a really long testimony that maybe I'll go more into another time. But I just wanted to say that, you know, share these thoughts on that. And you know, I believe that by being diligent and letting the washing of the water do its work, that, you know, I know the trials and the temptations will continue to come, but that I believe we can get to a place where we're really girded up and we're able to even avoid some, because we can be sanctified more and more by the word and by letting the fire of the word do its work. And then we don't have to stumble. So anyway, I'm praising the Lord. I'm rejoicing in the Lord for his goodness. I'm in awe. Love everyone and bless you all.
All right. Thank you, Chad. I'm sure that helps some people. Denny, did you have something? Angelica, I'll get to you in just a second. Hello, Denny. Denny. Oh, okay. All right, go ahead, Angelica.
Hi, I just wanted to completely give witness to what Brother Chad just shared. I really couldn't put into words the way he just kind of put into words what's been my walk, I guess, maybe for almost a year now. And it somewhat gives me a little peace to know that it's not just me, because kind of like what he said, you didn't really, you know, you question, like, what did I do, Lord, to get to this place? I mean, it really wasn't anything you did. It wasn't like a backslide. It was just something like the Lord had to tear you down to build you back up. And you realize you had so many misconceptions and presumptions about things. And so I thank you for that testimony. And I was hoping that maybe you can pray for all of us, because I think that that's probably where a lot of the people in the body of Christ are. We're not quite sure what the Lord's doing, but we're hanging on to faith. And but at least that's I can witness to what you know said in my own walk. You're not sure how you got there, but you're standing in faith and you didn't do anything, you're not doing anything different, and you're just asking the Lord to please have mercy and grace because he's the only one that can do it.
Okay. Chad, do you hear that? Yeah, you go ahead and unmute. I tried to unmute you, you beat me to it.
Sorry, you muted me. I unmuted me, and then I muted your unmuting, and you muted my unmuting, and that was neat.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, bud.
You know, thank you, Angelica. I'm glad you're encouraged, and you know, I'm in awe. I really can't put it into words, but I can say this, and is that when I went through periods of utter and sheer terror and fear, you know, being attacked throughout the night, I wasn't sleeping more than an hour or two in any 24-hour period for days at a time. The Lord let me go through that, and just, you know, somehow I held on. I mean, I'd gotten far enough in the Lord that giving up wasn't an option. And, you know, I do love the Lord. And I want him manifested in my life in such a way where it's just him. You know, that's been the cry of my heart. And I know that's the cry of you know, the hearts of so many, if not everybody on here, you know. And I can testify that somehow through this, as I've been yielding to the Lord and holding on to faith when everything in my feelings was screaming against the faith that I had, you know, thus far apprehended, I had a choice to hold on to faith when nothing in my feelings agreed with that. My feelings, my circumstances, manifestations, both in my soul, my mind, and my body, were raging against that. And I had, you know, I was tempted to think that I had lost, and I wrestled against thinking I had literally lost every good thing I'd ever apprehended in Christ. And I mean, just the thought of starting over was horrifying enough, but not as horrifying as an eternity separate from God. I mean, I wrestled with all these thoughts and these feelings, but then on the other side, I thought, well, the Lord hadn't said any of that, and he hadn't said I've lost anything. And, you know, so as I was crying out to him and continue to do so and holding on to faith, totally outside of feelings, completely contrary to feelings, that the best way I can put it is it's like that very deep-seated thing that I was born with, you know, that root of fleshly pride that leads to bitterness and competition and everything ungodly, has been shaking loose. It's like it's been breaking loose deep within me. And I still, you know, by the grace of God, I'm standing against it, but I'm seeing it so clearly for what it is. And it's like, okay, no, the word says this and this and this, and this is what I am. This is mine. These, you know, these promises are my inheritance. And just somehow the Lord is giving me the grace to fight the good fight in a way that I've never been before. I had a vivid dream back in 2016 when Charity and I, it was after we had left Tennessee and we'd done some traveling, you know, around the country that year. We were headed back west after going out east there. And we were staying in the town that Charity spent some of her early childhood years in, and there was a violent earthquake and the ground was shifting and moving up in like 5-foot increments and everything around me was shaking. Well, I went through a shaking back then, but I realized that the Lord was showing me that was a spiritual earthquake and things were being uprooted and violently, you know, displaced and misplaced, and so that he could replace with his word and his life what he you know, has wanted to. And so anyway, I can just say by his grace I've been holding on the faith, and the feelings are a lie. No matter how my good brother in Christ and good friend last night, as we were talking and sharing and the things of the Spirit, he said, you know, these feelings, no matter how real they are, when they're screaming at you, they're still a lie. And I said, boy, I was sure bearing witness on that. And so I'll go ahead and say a prayer, and I'm just believing for that same grace for all that are when everything within and sometimes without is shaking, that the Lord will give grace to hold fast to faith and I can see that when as this faith is manifested and as this faith comes to maturity, that this is a faith that cannot be shaken by whatever goes on around us. So Father, I thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have you've chosen us as vessels of mercy, Lord. I thank you for choosing me as a vessel of mercy. And I hold fast to that, Lord, and I pray for grace for my brothers and sisters to hold fast your promise, Lord, that we have been called forth to be vessels of mercy and vessels of honor, and that the daily choices we make are so important, and that you give grace to make the right choice every time. Lord, you give us grace to make the right choices every time, and I pray for abundant grace and a wisdom, Lord, great wisdom for my brothers and sisters out there who are going through these vehement shakings at this time, and facing and dealing with things like deep-seated pride and roots of bitterness and rejection and in any form, or they come in so many different forms. And some of us are just born with more of this in our DNA than others for whatever reason, Lord. But I thank you that you have called us forth. You have called us forth to display your glory as vessels of mercy and vessels of honor, and you be glorified. And I pray for abundant grace, Lord, to be poured out upon my brothers and sisters to fight the good fight of the faith when everything in their feelings, Lord, when everything in their circumstances is raging against them, that just simply by making the choice to hold fast to faith in what your word says in spite of and of all of that shaking and all that seems contrary, Lord, that faith will manifest in due season if we don't faint. So I pray for grace not to faint, Lord. I pray for grace not to grow weary in well-doing and not to give in to spirits of condemnation, even for failures that happened yesterday or an hour ago, that as long as we're seeking you and we desire you, Lord, and we're not in willful sin, we're not going after sin, but we're desiring your the manifestation of Christ in us, that Christ that your spirit have free course in us, and that Christ reign in us to the ultimate, Lord, to the full. I pray that this desire would grow, Lord, and that there would be such a knowing within that only you can satisfy, Lord, that nothing of this earth, nothing of the flesh, nothing of the world can satisfy, Lord, that's all a lie, but only you can bring true satisfaction, Lord, and that in the midst of the suffering, I pray that in the midst of the suffering, Lord, that each one would find joy and find a place of stability in you to hold fast and just watch these things fall away from them, Lord, one by one, and find you rising up, Lord, miraculously. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it, Lord. Strengthen and encourage according to the need of each one now, Father, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. I receive that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Chad. Go ahead, Andrew.
I'm going to ask for forgiveness from this chat room here, and from William Thomas, Willie Thomas, because last meeting, you're probably unaware of this, but it was when we brought up the mark, the end of Mark there, the commission in Mark, I sort of cut Willie off there, and what we were really talking about was the same thing, but I just had a bad thought about him there, and I ask for forgiveness of that, Willie, and for the people here on the chat room. I quickly corrected it at the time when it happened too. And I just don't want to come before anyone in the body of Christ with any sort of bad thought or feeling at all, any time. And that's the one thing I wanted to stress on that. I actually wrote down his little piece there on his little statement there in my Bible that I learned through Willie from the Lord, that some of these things we go through are like Paul the Apostle in his trials when he was buffeted. And I really thank him for that. Praise God. And glory, hallelujah to the Lord for all that. Amen.
Amen.
I think a really good psalm for prayer is Psalm 140. I would suggest my brothers and sisters to have a real good look at that psalm, because it starts out with the word deliver, and it just goes on and on. I think it's very pertinent to everything that we prayed for today, how the enemy is coming against the countries and against us, and what we should do to an excellent example of prayer here in 140, Psalm 140. And glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I forgive you. I don't know what, but I forgive you. Praise the Lord. Dave forgives you. Pat forgives you.
I was just going to say real quick, I think it's not like we're factious, but I think that factious spirit has been attacking us on and off for like, you know, a little while. I see it try to come on, so I just rebuke it. But I know there's a factious spirit or some kind of spirit being waged against us a little bit. I don't think it has the leverage it used to have, but it's still, I can see it come in and out. And I think that's what some of us experience here. So as long as we're repenting and not receiving it and casting it off and catching it and moving forward and not letting it drop us, you know, I just want to make people aware of that. That's all is my observation, what my personal life, maybe this is happening here also.
Okay.
And I'd like to take a chance here also to thank Chad for his words today, because they very much so ministered to me, and I just really like them. I like to hear them. I really do, and it's really helping me just to hear that.
Amen. I believe that too. Okay, Angelica.
I just wanted to pray for Brother Joe DeBrazzi. I just wanted to lift him up in prayer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I just lift up to you my brother Joe. And Lord, you know his heart and you know his struggles, Lord God. And I just cry out for mercy for his life, Lord God, for his spirit, man, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Lord God, that you would give him wisdom and understanding, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would give him a firm foundation, Lord God, in you, Lord God, and in your word, Lord God, to stand on, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Lord God, that you would help him to see the beginning from the end, Lord God, that his identity, Lord God, would be found in you, Lord God, and that his worth, Lord God, would be found in your words, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Help him to receive your words to his heart, Lord God, not to his mind, Lord God, but to his heart, Lord. I pray that you would enlarge his heart to receive more of you, Lord God, that you would deliver him, Lord God, of any anxiety, worry, fear, Lord God, rejection, Lord God, and any insecurity, inferiority, Lord God, that it would be cast down in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would make him a mighty man of God, Lord God, and give him the strength, Lord God, that he needs, Lord God, and the resolve, Lord God, and the conviction, Lord God, to do the things that your word commands and requires, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Help him, Lord God, to be strengthened in you, Lord God. I loose my ministering spirits, Lord God, to him day and night, Lord. And I pray that whatever he needs, Lord God, that you would speak to his heart, Lord God, and
I pray, Lord God, that you would just deliver him of any and all doubt and unbelief, Lord God, that the enemy is trying to speak into his life, Lord, and that you would just finish the work that you started in the brother, Lord God, and strengthen him in every way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe with him. In Jesus'
name. Hey, can I just add to that prayer a little bit?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I just agree with my sister there, Lord. I know you are with Joe, Lord. I sense it. I discern it, Lord. And agree that, Lord, that you would confirm to Joe that you are with him and that you are dealing with something very deep in him that he can't quite even really see clearly yet or explain or fully discern, but he knows it's there and he wants to be rid of it, Lord. And we thank you that you're hearing the cry of his heart, Lord. We just stand with our brother. And we just say, be free, Joe, be free in the Lord. Receive the liberty that Christ has for you. Lord, help him to grab a hold of the law of liberty of life in Christ Jesus, Lord. And we bind up the law of the spirit of death and rejection, these spirits that are coming against him, these spirits of faction and spirits of that are trying to work to separate him in any way from you, Lord, and from those that love him. And those that are standing with him, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you will continue to uphold Joe with a willing spirit, Lord, and that you will work in him to will and to do of your good pleasure, Father, that it has pleased you to pluck him as a brand from the fire, Lord, and to set him forth as a vessel of mercy and a vessel of honor. So continue the good work you've begun in him, Lord, and give him the strength and encouragement that he needs now, Lord, so that he can go forward. We thank you that he's not going to go backward from this point on, but that he's going to keep his gaze straight before him, Lord, and enter more into the promised land that you have set before him. And we just bind up every dark spirit and every dark power of witchcraft and voodoo and sorcery coming against him now. We break your power against him in Jesus' name. We command you to go from him in Jesus' name. Strengthen him in the things of you and connect him, Lord, with others in the fellowship, Lord, in the body as you is good in your sight, Father, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. Joe, I feel better whether you do or not, brother. I tell you what, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You're free, brother. Go ahead, Pat.
I was looking at that Psalm 37:32 again. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. And I remember when I brought this up, I was going through the process of, because I was starting to see that these comments about the wicked were specifically related to the flesh or the carnal perspective that we all have. And the interest to me, what started to jump out to me related to that verse was in the next verse where it says, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him, but the Lord will not leave him in his hand. And it's the thought is, the Lord has us in his hand, and he's using this devil in a restrained fashion in our lives to bring about things in us and awarenesses in us that wouldn't normally be brought to our awareness if we didn't have that opposition in our life. And just on a side note, I got the thought the other day that Trump, since he's been into office, he's had opposition the very second he went into office, and it's been vicious opposition all the way. And it dawned on me that the Lord is using this as kind of a restrainer in his life, because just watching the amount of things that he has accomplished in the short time that he's been in there, if he was unleashed and let go, he would run with the ball, no doubt about it. And so I think the Lord has this opposition in there to kind of restrain and hold him back and only allow him to go so far. But it's the same way in those verses, is that the Lord will not leave us in his hand under that, the restraint of that wicked opposition in our life. But the point is not that he will not leave us in his hand. The point is, where are we at? What is our position? Our position is in the Lord's hand, watching this wickedness that is coming against us. And I remember early on in my Christian life, I got a hold of the book, Brother Lawrence, I think, Practicing the Presence of the Lord, which is kind of a neat book. But the concept that I'm getting out of this is that it's our position. Where are we at right now? We are in the Lord's hands, and this wickedness, though it may be buffeting me about, and it even appears to come from within me, within my thoughts and my confusion, I'm still in the Lord's hands. And he brings these oppositions into my life for his purpose, to bring about a clarification, a confession, a time to align ourselves up and take a stand with the Lord in his word, and to strengthen us in that position. And it continues on in the next verse, and it says, and he won't condemn him when he's judged. God does not condemn us when we're in this judgment, this conflict, and this opposition. But it says in the next verse, wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. And it's, I think with me, it's just, I was in the shower the other day, and the Lord hit me with a thought in the midst of these battles. And that thought was based upon, be who you are. You are a son of God. Live like a son. Quit living like a child. Live like a son. You will inherit the promises. You will inherit the benefits if you start living like a son and start learning to walk like a son and start to function like a son. And I guess in this particular situation, verse 37, that it came to me as though you have to stand on the Lord's side, even if it's a battle that's coming within you. And so that was just my kind of my 2 cents worth on that.
That's pretty good. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I just got a praise report. I don't know. Did you pray for Marlon?
Yeah.
Michael?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Greg went and posted and said they went to emergency surgery. They found that he had a hole in his stomach. And so they sewed him up, and there was no hole in the intestines, but they did have a kink. And so they unkinked him, and he's in recovery now.
Okay, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just praise you, Father. You told us yesterday morning to stand up and thank and praise him, Lord. And we do that right now in the name of Jesus. We just praise you for Marta's recovery, complete. And we thank you, Father, that he is healed in Jesus' name. And that was nothing but you, Lord, because them doctors, they try everything they can to hurt somebody. But, Lord, we thank you that Marta's going to come out of there completely healed and with a testimony on his lips, Lord, because you're going to get the glory for this. There ain't nobody but you going to get the glory for this. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Matthew. I was wondering about that. I knew something was going to happen here. I knew it was going to be good, though. I did. I went on a walk today, and I was praying for Marlon along the way, and I just had a good feeling about it. I knew he was going to be all right. Thank you, Lord. You know, I knew in my spirit that he was going to be all right. You know, your flesh kind of wonders sometimes, you know, it kind of works against you, but my spirit knew that he was going to be fine. Praise God. All right. Now he can go to eating steaks again. Praise God. All right. Go ahead, Dave.
I want to go back to Psalm 37, if that's possible here real quick. And I'm not distracting anything. But when Pat was talking, it brought to memory of this. I think we all have heard this, but I think I would like to read it if we got time. I think we do. This My Beloved Enemy by Bill Britton. Kind of falls in line a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
My Beloved Enemy by Bill Britton. You are not really my enemies at all. In fact, in reality, you are some of my best friends. You have lied about me and about this ministry, who have tried to destroy people's faith and confidence in me, who have spread false and damaging rumors about my life and teachings. Through your efforts, there has been a great work of grace wrought in this heart of mine that could never happen without you. My friends have been many and loyal and faithful to stand with me in many hours of trial and need. They have been strengthened to my weaknesses and added to joy to my heart in times of sorrow. They have girded up my faith amongst raging doubts. They have brought me before the throne of grace innumerable times and their seasons of prayer. I could not have continued long in this spiritual conflict without these wonderful friends. But believe me, I speak in sincerity of truth. There can be no perfection in the lives of God's elect without the chastening work of a real enemy. For when a bitter, vicious person begins to do all they can to destroy me and my work for God, then their work is done. That brings out all the wrong and evil attitudes and spirits that lie hidden deeply rooted in my heart. When a friend extols all my good virtues and praises me from their heart of true friendship, I feel nothing but love for them. But when I hear an enemy who has unjustly brought shame upon me, there rises up a spirit of defending myself, in a spirit of righteous indignation to refute the enemy. It is then that the precious Holy Spirit does his office work and reveals to me the wrongness of my own spirit. I see in me then the things I did not know were there before. With repenting and sorrow of heart, I cry to God, and he delivers me from that which I have seen in my life. It was hidden, lying dormant, and to you, my beloved enemy, brought it to light with your crucifying process. The prophets of old would never have had the glory of being stoned for the word of God, and no martyr's crown could have ever been worn by the early Christians without real enemies. You see, I cannot crucify myself, and friends will not do it. So it takes you, my enemy, to bring me to the cross. And to the cross I must come, if ever I'm going to come to the glory of perfection. But I have much process yet to make before coming to the image of my lovely Jesus. There is so much I must yet learn. And my enemy, you are teaching me. I have learned that the road to glory is by the way of the cross. Without it, without you, I would not have found the way. someone had to crucify my Jesus, not his friends, not his disciples, and he could not do it himself. So Satan and the princes of this world stirred up hatred in the hearts of his enemies, and the work was done. Had they known that they were bringing him into his glory and bringing about the salvation of lost mankind, they would not have done it. And I'm sure if you knew the good your efforts are working in my life, you would not want to help me so much. But the work is being done, and I have learned to love you because of it. Love thy enemies. He said, and I wondered how I could do it, but you have taught me. For because of you, I have grown in God, increased in his grace, and have partaken in his divine nature. And because of you, many have turned away and have refused to hear the truth imparted into this vessel. Their ears have been filled with lies, and no doubt have thought that no good thing could possibly come from such one. But even here, I have seen the hand of God. For those who have had ears to hear the voice of the Spirit have not believed the lies you have told them, and they have opened their hearts to the message for these last days. Thus, God, we have weeded out the chaff from the wheat, and is in a process of separating his own unto himself. All things are working together. So, my friends, in reality, I have no enemies in flesh and blood. Your work has been sharp and cutting, and many times I was hurt and wounded deeply, but out of these trying experiences, I have come forth a better Christian and further on the way of becoming an overcomer. I doubt that you will receive any reward for your lies and your efforts to destroy me. Woe unto them whom these offenses come. But I want to know that through your loss, may be great in the day of judgment, I love you and appreciate the ministry you have had in perfecting this in mind.
Amen. That's the first chapter of Speak Grace, isn't it? That's the whole first chapter of Speak Grace, not condemnation. That's a good letter. I wrote that. I think that's it, right? No, that's not. No, that's not the one. That's the one to the prodigal son. Yeah. Okay, well, praise God. That's a good one. What are you shaking your head about? Nothing. Don't make me come over. I don't mind, brother. All right. Anybody else? Amen.
It's not like this is where I live or anything.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, this is good tonight, man. I enjoy this. And by the way, Andrew, we will go through Psalm 140 when we get through 37. I'm like you. I like that psalm. That's one of mine, too. Well, all right. Let's see. Where are we at? Uh, 33. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. We went over that a little bit. Y'all stop me if you got something you want to say about it. And then in 34 says, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it.
Can we stop at 33 real quick?
Yeah. You go ahead.
The last part of 33 was interesting for me. We know we got the Lord. He's in control of this persecution, this trial, this cross we're going through with the wicked. And as Bill Britton pointed that out. But also the Lord says he will not leave him in his hand. So we know the Lord's controlling what's going on. Nor will the Lord condemn him when he is judged. So let's say, for instance, hey, maybe we deserve that judgment, but we're not getting condemned from God. Especially if we're repenting and coming to God and realizing we need his grace. He's not condemning us. He's not condemning us at all. But he's using this process to bring us into perfection.
Amen. That's exactly right. He's doing it. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. I think this is what Chad was kind of relating to in his testimony there. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. What's the land? Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, a couple of things here. Firstly, when I was reading this, it struck me over and over again this afternoon that the righteous is brought up over and over and over again. The righteousness and righteous and, you know, delivering the righteous. And I know we've discussed this many times, but, you know, when you read the faith, your faith is accounted as righteousness. So a lot of this doesn't have to be, you know, perfect. You don't have to be perfect to get the benefits of the psalm here. Just by your faith, you're getting the benefits of righteousness. That was the first point. And the second thing was in the verse 33 here, the cross reference to 2 Peter 2:9, and it in part says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation." And, so that's adds a little bit more to that verse 33 there, delivering, God delivering us out of temptation as part of that deliverance.
Amen. Amen. And, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see. Somebody got anything on that one? I believe that's what Chad was referring to when he gave his testimony earlier. Is we go through these processes, we go through these trials and these tribulations, but all we have to do is just kick back in the rest of the Lord, because we know he's the one that's doing it, and he's doing it in us to get rid of these things that we've carried with us all these many years. And and when we see it, you know, we just get rid of it, repent of it, you know, go on. And God's not, like the verse says before, he's not condemning us. It's just judgment coming on us to help us out here. And that's what he's doing. He's helping us out with these unprofitable servants that are out there, whether it be a person or a circumstance, you know. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I was just reading. It reminded me, that whole process, that reminded me of 1 Peter 4:12 said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And I think it's that glory being revealed in us. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified." So it just seemed to kind of align up with what we were talking about there. That fiery trial that's coming against us is to reveal that glory of Christ in us as we respond.
Amen. Y'all can read the chapter if you want to. Robert's explaining what's going on with Bruce. If we go in here, let's see. Well, we got, that's one thing the Lord has. He's got plenty of tools out there, doesn't he? In his toolbox, he's got plenty of trials and tribulations to get rid of. And the thing about it, we have to remember is, we want to go through this trial again. or did we want to go ahead and repent and come into the alignment, so to speak? God's just, he's cleaning his bride up. He's cleaning us up. Man, I tell you what, this is good stuff here. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. You're going to see the perfection in yourself, the Christ in you. When the flesh is cut off, every time it cuts off, you know, somebody will see a little more of Christ in you. Verse 35, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. What does that mean? I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. Go ahead, Blake.
I'd just take a stab and say, even we can see that in our country, how great the wickedness is in this country and how it looks like it's just its tentacles are all through this country and having all this control and the threatenings and the murders and the manipulation and, you know, I read an article. I wish I could find it. I think it got removed last week and God, I've been looking for it. It was about liberalism. And it compared that to being the most threatening movement this world and this country has ever seen. And I'm not just cutting down liberals for being liberals, but it's the whole premise behind it and how terrible it's been. And it's liberalism encompasses so much of what we're seeing going on in the world today and how it's just going after all the institutions and it's because of the premise behind it all. I mean, people are, even now, they're afraid to even say, they kind of hush and talk to each other, hey, I'm a conservative or I'm a Christian. They don't even want this out in the open because this liberalism is so fanatical and so oppressive. People are afraid to even talk. And that's the way we've seen this oppression happening in this world today, where people that do have an affiliation with something that's contrary to that doctrine, they're afraid to even come out and say what they are because they're going to be overrun or over oppressed by this great wickedness is seeing. So we see this spreading right now. And I think God's got to make a great enemy and he's making one for us to conquer. And it has to be something that can only be conquered through God so that we're seeing this. And it's just, you know, kind of a parody with this scripture, that song.
Well, I'll tell you what, let me ask this question. What do y'all attribute to the meteoric rise of liberalism fanaticism? It's real simple. I'm going to make it simple for myself because that's what I am. I'm a simple man. It's godlessness. No God. And they want to destroy everything associated with God. And you can see the degradation in the whole liberal part of it, and what is heading the liberal agenda is satanic leadership, satanic leadership, and they don't want religion. That's okay with Muslims. It's okay with Hinduism. It's okay with all of these other false religions. It's Christianity. It gets booted in there. So you can tell real quick what's going on. If they're trying to drive the Christians out. That's their main objective, is to drive the Christians out. But God. But God, that's right. Praise the Lord. We pray against them. Our power as a small group is a whole lot more power than that large group because we have all the blessings of heaven available to us. Praise God. Okay, who is it? Okay, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green tree in his native soil. Well, that's what you see there, that godlessness, those people who don't want to come to God, they just come out there. They're coming out of the woodwork. Once they got the agenda, once they got abortion going, then they got the homosexuals out, you know. And now we've got all kinds of perversions going on, bestiality, and making that legal in some areas. It's crazy, but it's all godlessness. And it's only the ones, the Christian. Now, God's fixing to do something here. He's fixing to cleanse the church. He's fixing to cleanse the church of all of these godless ministers that are preaching another Jesus. You can't come into the kingdom of God with another Jesus. I don't care who you are, you know. If you don't believe what the Word of God says, well, I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. No, you don't. I'm not talking about y'all now. No, you don't. What you believe is what that preacher standing up there, that apostate preacher sitting up there in that pulpit is telling you to believe. You don't get in the Word for yourself to find out what's going on in the Word of God. And that's why we've got this godlessness in our country. And actually across the world. It's up there in Andrew's country. It's down there in Joe's country. It's all over the world. But the conservative, I shouldn't say conservative, the true Christians are coming together. And you're going to see something here shortly, I believe, that's going to absolutely blow the Christian community apart. Go ahead, Dave.
Something else I noticed about that verse, it talks about this tree being in its native soil. Well, David talked in his last teaching, it was in Sunday about, I think it was a Delphi Oracle. Did he say it then? And it's these people that are, you know, grounded in this world, you know, this earth, it's a man of the earth. It's not the spiritual man, it's the carnal man. And that's what we're talking about, this tree. It's all the carnal. It's all carnal man. So it's a whole world system of man, all grounded in the earth.
Amen. Now, the next verse, here we go. Come on now. Here's the next. But one passed by, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. What's he talking about? Go ahead, Pat.
That's the one we were waiting for. the one that passed by. And if you listen to the last message that David talked about Nibiru or Planet X, that one passes by and lo, he was not. Yet I sought him, but he could not be found. And that shaking and rattling of what's going to happen is going to lay all of that wicked power to the ground, because they're going to see, everybody is going to see that they need something to trust in, which is more than what they're trusting in now, currently. I think this is the starting of it right now. But one passed by. Not quite sure if I understand what the Lord is talking about there, but it has to be something that he passed by or something, and it destroyed this power of the wicked. Yeah. So that was all I had.
All down in there, it talks about that. 38, I believe it is. Well, all right. We're just about running out of time here. It's been a good night. I appreciate everybody's input into this. I think this is a good format for us for a while, just to seek and study these psalms and There's a lot of wisdom in it. A lot of wisdom in it. And I enjoy it myself. Well, okay, Father, in the name, is anybody needing a prayer before we go? Yeah, Pat. You just muted yourself.
Sorry about that. yeah, I do. I am going to need some direction from the Lord on my work. He's dried up the work for me at my particular job, and I don't know if I start looking for work. I don't know if the Lord is trying to move me out of this area, away from the coast. I wouldn't doubt it, but I would like some confirmation as to what I need to do, or you know, how I need to move in this situation. So that's basically what I'm looking for.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up that to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to show him where you want him to go. You said to ask, and you shall find. You shall receive. You said to seek, and you shall find. You said to knock, and that door will be open to you, Father. And we thank you that you're going to do that path. You're going to give him some confirming word that you either want him to move, do something else, or whatever it is, Lord. And we believe it, that you're going to give it to him in the next few days. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to place him in an area where he can be a light to the people. And we thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I believe it. Lord, I just ask and I pray for everybody here that they've tonight has been a blessing to them, and that revelations have come forth about their walk with you, Lord. I know that Chad and Angelica both talked about that, and it's just an awesome walk. And the way that they've explained it is real simple. And, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in all of us. And I praise you, Father, that you're going to continue this work in us until we're perfected into that 100-fold man that you want us to be, Lord, that spiritual man of Jesus Christ, walking here on earth like a lighthouse. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for being with us these next couple of days as we come together again Thursday night talking these same subject, Lord, and that's you. And, Father, we thank you and we praise you for Marlon's complete healing in his body. We thank you for it, Father, that tomorrow he's going to be so supernatural energy is going to flow through his body. He's going to get up and go home. And we praise you, Father, that that's going to happen in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that when Greg gets up there with his dad, that he's going to have great fellowship with him, his mom, and his sisters as well, and that they'll all praise God for the wonderful miracle work that he did today in Jesus' name. Lord, give us a good night's sleep tonight and tomorrow night, and be with us again Thursday night when we come together. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that Joe is set free in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that Angelica is set free. I thank you, Lord, that Chad is, all of us are set free in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us in Jesus' name. And all right, folks, good night.
Amen.
Amen.